This is CliffCentral.com.
It's Sunlux with Easy. CliffCentral.com on a Wednesday morning. We're here to look after you, give you some news, tell you what's happening in the world. It feels like much longer, but New Year was just a week ago. You realize that? Like a week and maybe 2 days.
Yes, a week and two days.
Exactly.
Today's the 9th. Well done, Gareth.
Correct. So, we're great. So Anderson Cooper, you know, he does this New Year's Eve thing for CNN. And who is he there with? Andy Cohen.
He's from Bravo.
Right. And so the two of them were having a big old New Year's celebration and they had a shot of tequila. But I didn't know this. Anderson Cooper can't drink tequila. He doesn't know how to do a shot.
First one of the night, yeah.
Delicious. I feel better already. Anderson made me promise not to
That's him going,
like, duh. Just lose credibility.
That was Anderson Cooper, that noise. That was an adult male taking a shot on live TV. He's a professional presenter.
Delicious. I feel better already. Anderson made me promise not to complain about the weather because
I feel like my lungs are scorched.
Good.
What was that?
Just the beginning. It was tequila.
It's our hourly toast.
Not making it any less.
They did one every hour for the whole broadcast, right?
Not if you're driving, but feel free to toast along with us.
Absolutely. You know what? Everybody here seems to be having a great time. He's not a big drinker.
It's like burning your lungs.
Your life feels good to me.
Welcome back, Times Square.
If I had to react like this to every shot of tequila I had over the holidays, I would be making those noises all of my life. Kind of weird, right?
All your life.
It's the top of the hour. The crowd is counting down to the top of the hour. So for us, the top of the hour means another
tequila
shot.
This is number three.
With us at home.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Mm. All right.
You know what? That felt good. That felt good.
What is wrong with him?
For real? Are you kidding?
That was his third one, and it carries on. He did five of them.
The squawking.
And by the way, I mean, he reminds me of that the show that we did when we were high. It was just horrible. It's horrible to watch.
No, I don't.
Yeah, so we're really in no position to criticize.
Why is that we get reminded about that show as soon as we all think we're over it?
My fault. I brought it up. But there we go. Anderson Cooper. And now you know the funny sounds he makes when he drinks tequila. If you see Anderson Cooper at New Year next year, don't invite him to come over for a shot because he's going to make those bizarre noises and you're going to be embarrassed.
Just casually because I'll be hanging around in circles with Anderson.
Well, you might be. Who knows, Sia? You never know who you might meet. All right. What else have we got going on? Have you got any info for us?
Oh, let's talk about El Chapo.
Remind us, who's El Chapo?
El Chapo Guzman.
Yes, Jaquan or Jaqueen, I don't know how the...
He is the drug kingpin, right?
The notorious drug lord. He's 61 years old, and he's currently facing more than 17 charges in the U.S. right now that cover more than 30 years of alleged criminal activities. He's on trial, and so far he's pleaded not guilty to all of these charges. And it's been fascinating to watch over the past couple of weeks. This is, by the way, if you're paying note of this, this is the first time a major drug lord has been tried in any U.S. court. And yeah, so he's pleaded not guilty. And the trial has been very interesting over the past couple of days, particularly because now there are various people who are coming up and they have to have and share their own testimonies of working with El Chapo. So some interesting details have come out about his life. Do you want to hear that?
Go on, absolutely.
Okay, so just imagine what sort of life El Chapo lives. He is as
now
much
a, or when he was free?
Just even in his heyday over the past years, okay. As much as he's a notorious drug lord, he's quite a notorious partier as well. He was known to go to a wide variety of nightclubs, and his favorite accessory when going out was a diamond-studded gun. because even if you're a drug lord, you had to look quite fashionable.
Right, of course.
One of the people who also had their own time in court to testify against him was one of his hitmen. And the hitmen spoke about the fact that El Chapo has various properties all across Mexico and the US as well. And the location of this particular property hasn't exactly been pinpointed as yet, but this property was exclusively known as the murder room. This was a whole property with various buildings that were all constructed to be soundproof. Mm-hmm. And all just had white tiles and a massive drain in the middle.
Oh my God, that sounds creepy.
Oh, freaky. There are no photos of it just yet, but even just the way it's been described is chilly enough.
Oof. Is that the murder room?
The murder rooms. There's no way.
There's a drain in the middle of the floor to pull the blood.
White tiles.
You can clean it up afterwards and it's soundproof.
Like an abattoirish.
Yeah.
And you never hear anything that's going on inside because he specifically wanted it to be soundproof.
Doesn't the Saudi embassy have a similar kind of room?
I think so. But they got Khashoggi in there.
Okay, that's a bit sad.
That's kind of horrible.
And then also, most recently, this is how El Chapo actually went down, through the FBI getting an IT guy that worked with El Chapo into the mix. So the FBI have had their eyes on El Chapo for years now. So it all started back in 2010 with this investigation that has led up to him getting his time in court last year by getting an IT guy into a hotel all alone. And the FBI basically said, yo, like, we know you work with El Chapo. It's either you can go down with him or you can help us in this investigation. And so that's when he agreed. So they have more than 200 recorded phone call conversations. And the details that are exchanged in these conversations are so explicit, so deep. There's obviously recorded conversations of El Chapo contacting his hitmen, detailing what he wanted done to people, detailing how drugs should be shipped to and from Mexico. So it is all just very, very juicy. Over the past 20 years in particular, he's shipped more than 125 tons of cocaine alone, just all over the place. So
that
it's going to be
massively resourceful. Nothing else. That's
resourceful is a word that comes out of your mouth.
Yes, it's illegal and it's all these kind of things, but that's incredible. Can you imagine if he was directed in the right place at the right time in life?
Yeah, he would have ended up being an amazing guy.
Imagine if he just suddenly got into, like, I don't know, pineapples. Or
I don't think that would excite him much.
It all depends on the stimulus. But, I mean, that is an amazing work ethic.
Let's admire him in that sense. Sure.
I think you make a good point. There are so many people who turn to crime who have real skills, real talents that could serve humankind, right? Could make the world a better place, but instead they go into greed and into theft and in corruption and all those things. How do we turn them, Ben? What influences do they need?
It's an upbringing thing.
Do they need better parenting? Is that what you're talking about?
But then again, this thing about desperation and survival mechanisms, when you aren't brought up properly and you're thrown towards the streets into gangs and that kind of stuff, it ignites something in you that makes you so resourceful and so resilient. So maybe if he was brought up nicely, he wouldn't have been the same industrious individual.
He might have been a nursery school janitor.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because life would have been comfortable. Because the thing is, like, you achieve nothing in this world when you're comfortable or satisfied.
Very good point.
Yeah.
All right. Let's try.
Let's try get a bit of hunger and desperation back into our lives.
People and teachers, take note from what Ben's suggesting here. Raise your children properly so they don't become El Guzman, Chapo, whatever his name is.
Raise them badly, so therefore they're hungry to go create stuff.
This flies in the face of everything you've taught us up to now, Ben.
Yeah, I'm a bit confused by that. Yeah, so let's see how it goes. More than 17 charges with the likes of trafficking, firearms, money laundering, and of course, smuggling and selling of drugs. El Chapo, you have lived quite a life with your diamond-studded guns.
Okay, so, well, from that very light story to something that's dreadfully, dreadfully serious and sad.
Oh?
If you're looking to take an Instagram photo on top of Lion's Head in Cape Town, well, I'm sorry. You have to wait until February the 15th.
Oh, I heard about that.
But this is not going to make some people's... Yes, but people plan their holidays around that Instagram selfie on the top of Lion's Gate.
This is life-threatening for a lot of people. So if you are wanting to run 5 to 7 kilometers, put your Strava information on and have the picture of the, you know, Table Bay Harbor, that kind of stuff. I'm sorry, but it's not going to happen for a while.
Why, Ben? But why?
Gareth, there needs to be maintenance done on Lion's Head.
Oh.
Yeah. They need to pick up all the hashtags. They need to pick up all the broken promises of, like, a great view. And they need to sweep it all up and then obviously dust down the tracks. And that's exactly what's happening right now. And it's going to take 6 weeks to do that.
Oh, but where, give us alternatives.
Where, do we go?
Where can we take other kinds of selfies that will make people think that we're sporty, yet sexy, yet understated, yet not looking for attention, yet looking for attention?
Well, this is the
one
thing,
of the New Year
goals. It's about hashtag find somewhere new. Oh. Or you tight Capetonians can just use the cable car and go even higher up into the top of Table Mountain. And I know it's too mainstream, but that's worth doing. Of course, you can go to one of the many beaches, unless it's Clifton Forth. Saw some bad vibes around there. Or just go join Percy Montgomery on the Bay Life in Camps Bay, because there's no life like the Bay Life.
Have you bumped into him?
No, I didn't go to Camps Bay.
But you were in Cape Town. You didn't bump into Percy?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, Cape Town doesn't do much for me because it's just there's other things in life, I believe. But Lion's Head is a beautiful thing to do.
How sad.
I did it last year for the first time. It's cool, but I mean, you can't do it now until the 15th of February.
People are going to be distraught. Tell me about that video that's going around on social media at the moment of this woman driving her car on the highway. And then this, you know, those big signs that they have overhead on the highway?
Yeah, I think it's Australia.
Oh, that's so freaky.
Those big signs that they put the...
They're big, okay? Because you need to see these signs somewhat like 2-3 meters away in order to make a decision about where you're going in life.
So if you're going on to the left, then you're going to take the off-ramp. If you're in the middle, then you're going to go carry on with the highway.
It was on Channel 9 News.
Right. But in Australia, this woman was driving towards Essendon. Judging by the signs, she was quite keen to go towards Essendon.
Sure.
And these giant signs just fell. Luckily, it didn't fall directly onto the car, because it probably would have sliced the car in two, because these things are massive, right?
They're so it fell down just in front or just behind?
It fell down just in front.
Oh.
It obviously then hit the car, and the car is, well, the car is screwed. But if this thing had fallen like a second later or half a second later, this woman might be in four pieces. Oh. So it just fell down in front. It then did sort of crash the car. Mm. But what a sight.
But she's okay.
Yeah. And this is why we should all have dash cams, because that's good content. I mean, she's fine. She's,
half the reason that Russia has YouTube is for their dash cams. You know, everyone in Russia has to have a dash cam.
You have to, because everyone's drunk.
Yeah, and insurance don't pay up unless you've got footage, because they don't believe anyone.
Really?
Everyone in Russia lies. They're all drunk all the time.
Okay. Well, they're drunk and they lie. The drinking makes it even more terrible.
Who's at fault with something like this?
That was my first question too, Sia. So now this woman who just had this thing fall on her, and her car is screwed, okay? She's got like a nice big SUV. I think it's a, I don't know, in Australia. I don't know what they drive in Australia. Everyone's trying so hard to work
in class. A cat with four horses.
No? It's a car, okay? It's a nondescript car. But now, do you sue the like municipality?
I would think it is the municipality, because they would be the ones putting the signs up,
because you can claim massive trauma here.
It could be the road agency, you know, the people who maintain the roads. There are different authorities in charge of different roads. Maybe it's them.
But then you can claim, I've lost confidence to drive, therefore I'm unable to transport myself.
Yes, okay, it's PTSD.
Money. Yeah, exactly. And then you can say you have a fear of signs. It's fear of Mondays.
I would take it a just
fear of Essendon.
Fair of Essendon.
I'd take it a step further and say, and I just don't want to leave my house anymore. So that's loss of earnings as well. Yeah. You have to be very slick with these things.
Oh, Sia would play the victim. I mean, Sia would, you would put on like makeup that makes it look like you're dark. Bags under your eyes and slip for weeks.
I'd go home and punch myself in the face a couple of times. Folks, you have to commit to this.
You do.
You have to commit. I love a good court case, and I was reading over one over December. And what's her name? Debrat. She was like a 90s hip-hop rapper. So bad.
Okay.
Now, we don't really remember her, but she was with Lil Kim and Foxy Brown, that group of artists.
Sure.
And Debrat once hit a woman in the face with a rum bottle. And I think that woman had the best law team around, because she went on to say, you know, that it's abuse. I now suffer from PTSD. I can't work anymore.
Oh, really?
And not only did you hit me with a glass bottle, but it was a rum bottle. So rum is extra thick. So now I need surgery as well.
And she went to prison, Debrett.
So Debrett went to prison for this. And they thought, oh yeah, she's facing some time. That would be fine. No. Originally, she was charged around $6 or $7 million, but went to prison. And Debrett came out a few years ago. And they said, oh, by the way, interest on the amount that you owe has now gone up. So she now still has to pay like $8 or $9 million from this situation.
Oh, shame. She was really taken down.
Face some prison time, and also you still have to pay about $9 million.
So she hit a woman with a rum bottle.
Yeah, what were you thinking as well?
That was the closest thing to her.
Whatever, you just pull you can.
She really is a brat.
Yeah, look.
It's a good thing she was, I mean, it sounds all right, like rum bottle. Imagine if it was like late harvest, like crackling or something. Or all she had was like a box of 5 liter Overmeer. Maybe a cuck story.
Doesn't that that late harvest stuff come in one of those wine bottles with a it's got like a glass ring that you put your finger through?
Yeah.
So that gives you extra grip.
I mean,
I don't want to think.
You know
about
what kind
these,
of bottle I'm talking about?
Hood
right?
ways,
no, but yes. The reason they got that ring is so you can stretch it to your backpack, because it's for mostly homeless people. That's why it's got that ring.
Okay.
Well, how thoughtful. For real?
Yeah, and then you put your string around it, and then you put it into your backpack, and away you go.
Your string.
Very Tom Sawyer.
Does it become like
Yeah.
Did they make it specially for homeless people?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Like, everyone's got a market.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's actually, I don't fault that. That's great marketing.
So if you drink your wine with a ring in the bottle, it means you know.
Just know that.
Geographically infrequent.
It's a big green bottle, yeah. Right? I've seen them, yeah.
I haven't seen them.
And they're shaped differently
too. Time.
They're shaped, they've got a long neck, and they're fat and round at the bottom.
Also green.
That's almost stubby at the bottom.
Also green bottles for wine. Yeah.
Not exactly classes it up.
Hey, do you want to hear Debrett talking about her disastrous encounter with P. Diddy?
Debrett, okay.
While we're on to Debrett.
I'm glad we brought her up.
Debrett.
Easter speech or something like that. Have y'all ever, like, fumbled through that?
Brett, I know you dropped the drumsticks playing the drums in the church when you was a child.
I have never dropped the drumsticks, but I must say, when I first rapped for Diddy, before I had a deal, Diddy asked me to rap for him, and I had a fast rap. I thought I was the female Twista. It was here in Atlanta. And I started rapping, and I totally forgot and messed up and tongue twisted and just screwed everything up, and I just wanted to cry. And he kind of looked at me like, oh well, you f***ed up. Move on.
That was that.
And that was it. I was like, okay, mm-hmm. That could have been, you know, the last chance of my life to make it as somebody.
Yeah. And was this before Bad Boy was big?
Yes, this was before Bad Boy was really big, but did...
So apparently this is actually the interview where she smashed the rum bottle over that other chick's head for interrupting
her. I wouldn't be surprised. Would not be surprised.
Okay, so she had a disastrous experience with Diddy. Here's a story you'll like. Mm-hmm. Some dude in Brazil found out the hard way that crime doesn't pay. He tried to mug a woman who turned out to be a UFC fighter.
I love the story. These kind of stories are so happy.
Pollyanna Viana is her name. She's nicknamed the Iron Lady. She said the man tried to use a fake gun to steal her mobile phone as well as some other stuff when she waited for an Uber outside her Rio de Janeiro apartment block. When I saw him, he sat next to me. He asked me the time. I told him the time. I said I wasn't going to leave. I saw he wasn't going to leave. So I already moved to put my cell phone in my waist. And then he said, give me the phone. Don't try to react because I'm armed. And he put his hand over a gun. But I realized it was too soft be a real gun. He was really close to me. So I thought if it's a gun, he won't have time to draw it. So I stood up. I threw two punches and a kick. He fell. Then I caught him in a rear naked choke. Then I sat him down in the same place that we were before, and I said, now we'll have to wait for the police.
So wow. Badass.
The gun.
This guy is so beaten. See, the pictures of him look like a dog after one of those Michael Vick dog fights.
Huh. So badass.
So apparently the gun turned out to be a cardboard cutout, roughly in the same shape as a gun.
Let's just examine that. You want to go out and commit some sort of crime, and you think, not only can't I fight, but let me just cut out something in the shape of a gun. Oh, that's just stupid. It reminds me of another story that came out this week of a man who was trying to kidnap a woman off the street and was following this woman. It was a shopping mall complex around there. And as the woman walked into a dojo, a karate dojo.
Oh, boy.
And the stupid kidnapper followed. Like, why would you do such? That should be your first clue. Like, walking into a place where people could potentially beat me up, let me abandon ship and leave. But walked straight in, and the woman quickly alerted the karate dojo instructor, saying that she doesn't know who this guy is. And the entire class was able to hold onto this alleged kidnapper, and now he's facing arrest.
I like when... like, bad people get beaten up by ordinary people. And I like when ordinary people are armed and they manage to shoot criminals. You hear a lot of those stories. There's a video that I actually shared on my Facebook yesterday. Some group called the Purple Cow. And they've put out...
name.
Well, they're trying to solve a whole lot of problems, seemingly, in South Africa. And one of their latest videos is about how if you want to stop domestic violence, train young girls at schools to use firearms.
Yes.
Now, that's very controversial, but what do you think?
Okay, we started the show today saying that the police are now telling us we should be armed. It's the only way we can defend ourselves.
Yeah, because they're not coming.
This MMA fighter, her day could have gone terribly if she wasn't an MMA fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the trend's coming here. You've got to arm yourself, protect yourself, learn how to do that.
And if you're a young woman and you learn how to use a firearm early on, and you then get your own licensed firearm later on,
right?
Your chances of having a man in a situation... take advantage of you and you have no recourse is diminished. Your chances of actually being able to defend yourself are increased.
When they say young woman, what age are we talking about? Like school going age?
Yeah, they're going to be, it's part of the school curriculum. Like the girls get taught how to use guns because there are dangerous men out there. Get taught how to draw your gun, where to put it on your person, how to shoot, how to aim. What the conditions are for using a gun in self-defense.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking about my nieces and nephew in this instance, girl or guy.
Sure.
I wouldn't be on the track of giving or exposing children to guns. I would be more inclined if they were learning some MMA or judo or something or the other. And I think after 18, I'd say, okay, cool. If it's your choice, go ahead. If you want to learn how to use a gun, go right ahead. But if you are like 11 years old and are learning how to...
I think it's a great thing for kids to learn.
But me too, because we can't be naive towards these things anymore, okay? So there's R. Kelly, there's Bill Cosby, there's general predators... That's a certainty in life. It's not like, oh, well, you know, it's just a bad area or whatever. No, it's a certainty.
Right.
All of this stuff, even if you look into the whole Me Too movement and Harvey Weinstein, all these kind of things, it's a certainty of life. Therefore, you can guard against certainties. It's not like one of those things like, oh, well, she was just unlucky. No, no, no. There's predators out there.
Look, again, wouldn't it be off-putting to a criminal to know that there are women out there who can defend themselves?
That too.
How likely? Because you've got to understand a lot of the reason that these men are abusive towards women and they do these things because they're opportunists or they're weak. An opportunist will see a woman on her own and say, oh, I can steal her bag. A weak man will beat up a woman because he can't afford to get into a fight with a man and he's got all this aggression because the man's going to beat him up. Now, if he thinks maybe in that bag she's got a gun, you think he's going to try? Hell no.
Probably not.
It's going to put him off.
It always comes down to the go for the weakest kind of person in society.
That's what these guys do. That's what these. A man who abuses a woman is a weak human being. He's easily going to be intimidated.
Yeah.
And if you're a woman, the best way to intimidate him is for him to not know whether or not you've got a gun in your bag. And maybe you do. And maybe you're trained and you know how to use it.
And age for that no factor?
I don't know, dude. I think the earlier you learn, a gun is just a tool.
Yeah.
It doesn't have magical powers. It's not always going to save you. Of course, there are, you know, guns that can be used against you. But I reckon better to be armed in a situation where you don't need it than to need something in a situation where you don't have it. That's all. Ben, I was driving back from KZN to Cape Town on Monday, says Riet, while I was listening to Cliff Central on the At the moment of the exciting announcement, I happened to cast my eyes over the Karoo landscape, and behold, Mikey Sfontein was directly to my left. I sort of teared up a little, says Riet. Oh. Isn't that nice, Ben?
Yeah, what a place.
Someone says, regarding yesterday's message about the increase of the pass rate from 50 to 94%, remember somebody messaged us to tell us that they have helped a local school to get their pass rate up? We provided them with school after-school teaching, one-on-one support to learners that needed help. Every week, a group would go to the school and we'd give motivation and give lessons on all the subjects and help with what was giving them difficulty. And as motivation, we would end every semester by giving out awards for the best performing learners. Well, that's incredible. So congrats to you and well done for making a difference in your way. Isn't that special?
Yeah, so, well, okay.
Very, very nice. There are, again, to go back to said by Sia this morning, there are good people out there. You've just got to know where to look.
Absolutely.
And there's bad people that need to be shot.
Mm-hmm. So
true.
You just have a gun.
Or beaten up.
Right.
Talking about school going age, though, it's back to school for a lot of people.
Today?
Yes.
Does that still make you feel a bit nervous, Sia, seeing as you weren't so far away from school?
In what way?
Like you hear back to school and you go, right. Oh, gosh, it's like this week. You go, oh, no, I'm an adult.
No, because actually this is the first time where I now feel like I'm not a school goer or a young person anymore. This is now 5 years after school. So I feel kind of, you know, been there, done that, got the t-shirt and the bad results. And
listen,
I've moved on now.
Ben, I know we've got a guest who's coming. He's a second time guest on the show, Radlin Naidu. We'll speak to him in a while. Radlin, is it Radlin Govender or Naidu? Why have I got two different surnames here?
Oh.
Naidu, right? Yeah, I was going to say. So why have they gave me two surnames? An incredible young man who was diagnosed with Tourette's syndrome at the age of, I think he was very young when he was diagnosed. He was able to cope through using music as a kind of treatment for this. We're going to play one of his songs, which Sia actually played for me yesterday. It's very good. It's called Your Love. We'll play that. I thought we'd get him in studio to catch up with him in a short while. But before we get to that, Ben, what happened with Sia Khaleesi yesterday? I saw loads of noise.
From this week, yeah. Well, he was interviewed in Japan, I think it was December.
Okay.
Because he was there with one of his sponsors. And there was a whole thing about development rugby and grassroots stuff and all that kind of stuff. And he was asked about transformation from a reporter. It wasn't one of those traps set up. If people watch the whole interview, it was actually a decent interview.
Yeah.
And it was what his thoughts were about transformation in the quota system. And then obviously on top of that, the international interviewer said, would Nelson Mandela have backed the whole quota thing about placing black people in front of white people in sport? To which he said he doesn't believe that Nelson Mandela would have supported that. He would have wanted merit and the best person for the job, and he agrees with that. And he believes the quota system isn't actually working because politicians and everyone needs to put more emphasis on development of rugby rather than playing a numbers game at the higher echelons of rugby.
So
makes sense, right?
So what's the controversy?
Well, people are saying that Sia Khaleesi's forgot his blackness now. You know, he married a white woman, so now he's
Let's just pull on everything.
So it sounds like racism.
They're pulling everything onto him and taking his... some people have said some really good things about this, and therefore I haven't felt that I must add to the conversation. I think the best things have been said already. This whole quota transformation debate is a tough one. It really is. Because in many instances, unfortunately, people have to be forced to pick black players because some coaches out there, of which there are many, are still white, still very stuck in their ways, physically weren't picking black players, okay? Mm-hmm. So you got to understand that there was a need for this to happen. Sia Khaleesi, ironically, is a result of this, as people keep pointing out. Because there was a need to pick black players, he was picked to get through where he is. He was given opportunities.
But, okay, let me ask a few questions here. Forgive me if I sound stupid because I don't watch rugby. Sia Khaleesi's there because he's good, right?
I believe so. I strongly believe so. But how did he get there? Many people ask. Because of the system.
Okay. But anyone who asks that, and especially if you cross with him for saying he's not in favor of quota selection, that's what he's saying. Yeah. It's his opinion. Now, if you're a person on Black Twitter, for example, who has a problem with Sia Khaleesi saying, I like merit.
Yeah.
What are you saying? Are you saying that black people couldn't make
it? We're not being selected.
So how could you be proud of yourself as a talented black rugby player and also want the quota system? You wouldn't want that. You'd want to be selected on your merits.
Mm.
I'm always confused by this argument.
It seems to me like it is a tough one because there's two sides to it, of course.
And why go after Sia Khaleesi? Isn't he an example of someone who has done well?
Well, he's seen his Uncle proud of Tom now.
He's not just a player, he's also our captain.
Yeah. Now, the whole thing about Sia Khaleesi is he's right, essentially. He's right. He really is. Because this is a guy who's gone through the hard yards, right? And now people are seeing him as a quota captain. Screw that. The guy's put all the effort in. He's had to work harder than anybody else. So that is why he's saying it sucks to have the quota system. I don't think Madiba would have liked it because it brings into question why we're here. So he's completely right in that respect. But then you look at other people saying, well, if it wasn't for the quota system, he wouldn't have been given a chance to become the best. So no one's really right in this. But the problem is people are now calling him out by saying he's lost his blackness and that kind of shit.
This is about him not going along with the narrative.
Exactly.
It's about him not buying into that shit.
Exactly.
So and I just saying, don't understand where his wife comes into this.
Yeah, that's like, just target. Well, that's just pure racism.
Easy racist target. Yeah. And people then saying like, hey, you know, how dare you go and marry a white woman? This is why you're saying all this kind of crap. But that's the bullshit of it. I think his comments, if you were to raise above the filth, which thankfully this conversation has got to right now, he is completely right. His emphasis was the emphasis needs to go onto development. Because he got a chance only because he went to a so-called white English school.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's saying is, let's not have the quotas at the top. Let's make sure kids like me get more opportunities and have to go to these schools.
Well, it seems,
and therefore he's right. He's completely right.
Three things that bother me about people who are criticizing Sia Khaleesi for this. The first thing that bothers me about them is they don't actually care about young black talent. Otherwise, they would have agreed about the development aspect of this. They're whole purpose is to just cosmetically make things look acceptable to them. And
which helps nobody.
So that helps nobody. That's the first problem I have with them is they don't actually care about young black talent. They're not interested in it. Number two, why bring up the wife? That's just pure racism and ugliness. And number three, why would you want anyone to feel that they're in a job or in a position or in an office or in a situation where they got there because of the color of their skin? That would make me think that you are in favor of racism. Because the whole point of essentially racist is to give special privilege to certain race groups.
Mm.
And by privilege, I mean legislated privilege. Forget about all the stuff that you would hear from supposed political activists and commentators. They don't know what that is. Privilege is when Sia and I are going for a job and he prohibited from getting the job because he's black.
Mm-hmm.
That's privilege for me.
Sure.
Right? That's wrong. It's racism. It's prejudice. Why would you want to be on the side of someone who doesn't believe in merit? Why would you want that? You'd want to be on the side of the person who believes in not only that there are certain things that we need to do to redress the ills of the past, right?
Correct.
But that we also need to be putting the best people forward so that we can win. Because sport is not very forgiving about politics. If you don't win in sport, you look bad. You fail. Audiences dwindle. Sponsorships dwindle. Nobody wants to play anymore. Nobody wants to watch anymore. The whole thing falls apart. It seems to me like the people who are arguing against and being, I think, just petty and rude and mean about Sia Khaleesi's comments are the very people who have deep-seated insecurities about themselves.
Hugely.
They don't like winners because they feel they're losers. And here's an example of a guy who, because he's not touting your narrative, doesn't fit into your idea of how a black man should be.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think you are to tell anybody else to behave a certain way?
Well, if you ever want to see what's completely wrong, obviously go the BLF route. That their head spokesperson, whoever he is, said that he's lost his black consciousness.
Said Sia Khaleesi has lost his black consciousness.
So therefore he's not black enough anymore. What a place to be. But I'd like to simplify this right down, okay? So Gareth, all those points you bring up are all right. And I still believe there has to be a way of getting more black talent into the systems to stay in the systems, mm-hmm. because that's what we need to do to correct the ills of previous wrongs.
Right.
But people are saying Sia Khaleesi.
People.
Sorry. Black Twitter's got me all out of there. People are saying that Sia Khaleesi must remove himself from the transformation discussion. Mm-hmm. I mean, This is a guy, okay, this is what I hate about Black Twitter, essentially, and just general narrow-minded people as a whole. How can this guy not be a opinion that you take seriously? He's black. Secondly, he plays rugby. Thirdly, he grew up, obviously, with nothing. Okay, nothing. Mm-hmm. And fourthly, he is the current Springbok captain. You tell me a better person to talk about the transformation question than this guy. You don't like his views? Think harder. You can't say, oh, he must be removed. You notice how everyone has an opinion that doesn't like people to say, oh, this person must fall, this person must shut up, this person must die, I hate his white wife. So there's that. But the second point I want to bring up here is that if you look at a lot of schoolboy rugby, you look at a lot of Craven Week stuff, there's a lot of black players in the system, okay? So at what stage do we say, right, we can stop the quota system, so to speak? I hate calling it the quota system, but that's what it is. Mm. Is there a time limit on this? Because Sir Khaleesi's point about how terrible it is to be a black player to come through the system on merit and then be chosen and then be doubted, what a horrible thing to live by.
Well, it sounds like a handicap.
It does.
It sounds like what you're really doing is you're creating two different levels of player. They're the white players who everybody thinks, oh, well, they must have just got in on merit. And then they look at a black player who's really worked just as hard, perhaps even harder.
Have to work there, harder, sadly.
And they go, well, you know, he's only there because he's black. I mean, how demeaning.
So that latter part of the conversation there, Gareth, is what I would love to take away from rugby, and Sir Khaleesi feels the same way, clearly. So when is there a time limit or a cutoff to say, right, I think we've had 30 years of this now, so maybe we can level the playing field, so to speak, with legislation, whatever it is.
I mean, because 30 years in rugby is four generations.
It can't be forever, right? It can't be forever that talented black players, their own merit can be doubted. And as the biggest injustice to them.
30 years in rugby has so many super sport commentators. It's just unbelievable.
I mean, there's so many illegitimate children as well. Illegitimate children are having illegitimate children that's so long in sport. So I think, again, never tell someone they must remove themselves for it. That just shows what an idiot you are if that's what you think. Sir Khaleesi is saying things. The conversation is happening. We need to move forward. Mm-hmm. So in many ways, people are saying, yes, transformation has to mean that black players are forced into a system. Great. But this means lower down the line. Because yeah. Then they got a fighting chance. You give a guy an adult career.
It makes me think. I mean, let's just short circuit this. What it makes me think is that a lot of people who are criticizing Sir Khaleesi don't like merit. They don't like being judged on their own merits because they know they're going to come up wanting. Well, I know I'm short circuiting things, but that's what it sounds
people
like.
People just need to focus on the matter. You know, don't bring in other things that are not necessary at all. Like, just focus on the matter. I mean,
I agree. All right, let's get to Radlin Naidoo. I'm very excited to speak to this guy. He was in here a while ago. I'm going to play his song so you can get an idea of what we're talking about. He was diagnosed with Tourette's syndrome at a young age. He was able to cope with it through music. And when we last spoke to him in 2016, he was at the point where he was ready to start going into music seriously. He's released his first single. And I thought we should get him into the studio this morning to catch up. Here's his song. Listen to this.
All I want to do is shout out loud and say, can't wait to feel you in all my days, because it's you and me. Wanna head on down, gotta race to your place. You're the only one to keep the smile on my face. It's plain to see, I need you, baby. And I was like, baby.
All right.
Girl, when I saw your face,
it's Rads, like Radlin Naidoo, and his song, which is called Your Love. Very nice, dude.
Thanks, bro.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, brother. It's good to be here. Happy New Year to all the listeners and audience out there.
Happy New Year to you.
I know it's a week late, but better late than never, eh?
Yeah, dude, this is a good song. He's got his Tourette's tick going on. So how's the Tourette's, first of all? Because the song's great.
Oh, well, I'm glad.
Music career's coming along nicely, but how's the Tourette's?
The Tourette's, if I'm being honest, fluctuates, bro.
Better, worse, same?
I'm actually, from like 2016, a little bit better, but there's days where it gets worse than usual. You know, the fluctuations are bad. Obviously, it depends on circumstance, situation. The emotions that you're going through in that present time. I mean, obviously stress and anxiety, as you know, are the main
driver. It makes it worse, though. Huh?
But like, even excitement. I mean, now you saw I just clapped my throat. And I mean, I'm excited and I'm looking forward to 2019.
Yeah, I've noticed. So you have the blinking occasionally. Mm. You like, you'll pull your face. You'll have almost looks like a muscle spasm.
Yeah,
type
my
movement.
Jaw locks on me. And, to think of it, in over the New Year, I was in front of my family. I was with my brother and his in-laws and stuff.
Yeah.
And they were like, they haven't been exposed to me as often as my immediate family.
Yeah.
So like obviously I twitched, punched my hip, next minute wrist is out of place, and I'm like, okay, hold up, wait 1 second, and I clicked it back, and then I realized after like 5 or 10 minutes, average about 5 times a day my wrist dislocates, the hand I write with, I'm left handed.
Oh my god.
Freak, so yeah. Don't make your face like that, bro. I'm right, you know. Sore. I'm not immobile, so
no, I'm thinking about the pain. Is it sore?
And your family that aren't around you as much, were they a bit freaked out by all of this?
If I'm being very honest, I worry a lot about my immediate family more than anything else.
But they're used to.
No, they're used to it, but getting used to it doesn't mean that you still don't feel helpless.
Sure.
You know, that there's also that point where when you're raised, I'd like to think that I'm quite an empathetic person, mm-hmm. and I'd like to instill that in other youngsters, but the reality is it's a catch-22 whereby my parents feel helpless when they look at me, and even my big brother, in my culture I call him Anna, because that refers to his big bro. But the reality is, you know, I also feel helpless because I look at them wanting to help me and not being able to do anything. And I want to better my situation. Sure. So then I feel helpless because I can't make them feel
better. Nobody needs to feel that. I mean, I'm not going to be your amateur sidewalk psychologist.
No, for sure, brother. For sure.
But it's nobody's fault. And helplessness is...
Exactly.
If you're both... parties are feeling, you're feeling helpless, they're feeling helpless, it's just nobody's really
winning,
helping themselves.
Exactly.
So just chill. Exactly. And it's all good. Just calm down here, because you don't have to be extra excited. We have you in here regularly.
Uh-huh,
it's always good to catch up with you.
For sure.
Alright, so first of all, song's very good, Your Love. When did you record it?
Well, firstly,
by the way, you could do a Michael Jackson song with those sounds.
Do you know? Okay, I have to tell you.
He used to do that.
I have to tell you. In the first song, I twitched a little, and the guy who mastered it dialed it down a bit.
Uh-huh.
But in the second song, which I'm very excited to share with you guys, because I recorded two tracks throughout the course of last year. This first song, Your Love, I recorded in January.
Okay.
And I did so in Cape Town. I'm not sure if you've heard of Worldwide Music. So Graham Ward is my producer. I'm very grateful. I'd like to give thanks to him whilst we're on air.
Sure.
Because he's incredible. He's been nothing but genuine to me and my journey. I mean, you know, the one thing I respect, especially considering I take music so seriously, and I mean, somebody of your stature and all you guys in the media who have been so receptive to me and my journey, the one thing I valued most is nobody treated me differently. So when I stepped into that studio, he'd be in that production booth and he'd push me. And he'd be like, no, you're too high on this, drop the key, enter the transition on this, take a slower breath, go into the next line. And we'd push recording for like 4 or 5 hours at a time. And he'd see that it takes a lot out of me, but I told him, you don't go easy on me. You treat me as if you would any other artist, because at the end of the day, the quality of the track needs to come.
I would like to suggest that one of the reasons that I think so many of us treat you like you're just one of us is because you demand that of us too. I mean, it comes from you first. I mean, you said to him, don't treat me differently. Be hard on me. We want to get the best possible product out of here. A lot of people would say, no, give me sympathy. I kind of like that attention. It makes me feel better. You know, some people like being weak.
I suppose, but weakness doesn't get you anywhere.
No.
If I'm being honest, I don't mean to offend anyone.
No, you're right.
It's just a matter of you're going to feel sorry for yourself. You're never really going to progress. You're not going to grow. You're not going to go.
How many people in this country even understand Tourette's?
Not many. But I'll be honest when I say it's refreshing when I come across somebody who is at least aware of it or heard of it. They may not be able to understand or process or digest what it entails, but they still actually know what it's about. They'd be like, Tourette's, okay, I've heard of this. I've seen a documentary. I've got a friend with this, but he's got mild Tourette's. So coming across people who actually have, even whether they've been exposed to a severe case or just in passing, it's refreshing because it's not very common.
What are the most most obvious and common misconceptions people have about Tourette's?
It's the swearing. Swearing. See, like now I'm in conversation. My concentration and focus is on upholding the conversation.
Yeah.
Hence, my tics are reduced.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that if you had to obviously have now start talking to him and I'm listening and I want to observe and absorb what he's trying to say. But because I'm focused mainly on listening and it's not requiring a lot of cognitive capacity, my tics start to escalate.
Okay. You see? So you have to be involved directly in stuff that like gets you concentrating.
Yeah,
in order
it's like
to
how my parents, which is fully understandable, but I'm very grateful because they're also supportive. When I drive, I think half of my family, with the exception of my immediate family, because they've been in the car with me, they've seen how I drive, they've seen how I react. Just last year, I've had to avoid like 4 accidents. Because, I mean, K53, you have to drive for every other idiot on the road. Not being funny when I say
but
that.
But, I mean, your tics don't make you suddenly swerve.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm fully concentrated. And the thing is, I actually enjoy driving. I grew up being a car lover. It's in my DNA. My uncles were had bunches of cars. A few of them are mechanics. So I enjoyed it because... Like, I mean, as a guy, you know, when you have your first car, it's almost like a relationship, you know?
Sure.
It's like, she's your baby.
A lot of guys love their car more than their wife. And who can blame them?
You know, the truth they say, I came across something.
You're not scared about driving alone. And people are not scared of being your passenger in your car or any of that stuff.
You know, come to think of it, my girlfriend, she actually trusts me so much when I drive. Like, she's as far as I know, like, she can fall asleep with me driving and she's, you know, completely at peace with it because she knows she's in good hands and I'm grateful that she trusts me that way. So it's pretty boss.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. How long you two been together?
Hey, by God's grace, bro, it's going to be 1 year and 4 months.
Wow. All right. It looks like a good relationship.
Ah, bro, she's a blessing. She's a keeper.
What did she have to adjust to with the Tourette's?
In all honesty, she's, in terms of her age, like she's a little bit older than me. So...
Okay.
I'm 22, she's 26.
Wow, you got yourself a cougar.
A cougar. Nice. Nah, but the truth is, bro, it's her maturity that I love. If I had to go for somebody my age, it's too... Well, I'm not trying to stereotype. It's just the majority of the people, especially females like my age, unless you're talking about drugs, sex, money, alcohol, they're not interested.
Wow.
I've came across that, especially at university. And I mean, no disrespect to anyone. If you're different, I will bless you. But with my experience and my Tourette's, I've encountered a lot of people that don't really understand the substance or depth of what life is about.
Not.
And I'm not about that.
But it takes something special to be able to create the music that you're creating too. And we'll get into that in a second.
Thanks, brother.
But I'm impressed. You have been signed by Peer Music.
Yeah.
You released the song on Apple Music, iTunes, and many other major platforms. You released the music video on the 19th of October last year. So is that on YouTube?
It's actually on my Life with Tourette's, the Facebook blog that I had. So I'm actually now trying to find ways because I need to see if I'm being very open. As a student, I just graduated last year by the grace of God. And now, obviously...
What are you qualified in?
Marketing management from Tux. So... And I was very, very honored because I actually got into the honors program at Tux this
year. Fantastic.
So, the truth is, funding is not always the most convenient thing when you are a student. So moving into music and, you know, having that passion it's good. But for me, obviously, somebody who wants that growth, it's not good enough.
Well, you've got to be able to do both, right?
Exactly. So I wanted my degree as a backup. And then also, I had to make sure that I allocated enough time to do my degree because last year was my final year. In the midst of my final year, I had to record the 2 tracks, which I both did in Cape Town. My mom is actually the one I want to give a huge shout out because she supported me through it all.
Very good.
She helped me to get to Cape Town. You know, a lot of financial things that I wouldn't have been able to do on my own, she created that doorway. And once that doorway is open, it's from God. No man can close it. So... I mean, I was very grateful. And now I need to look at, you know, investing in getting a photo shoot done, getting a good photographer, getting a banner for the YouTube channel, and eventually putting out the pieces of work there to engage more with the audience.
You know what I would do if I were you? I would show off some of the Tourette's. I'm serious. I'm not being funny about this. I'm not trying to mock you.
No, I understand.
I think it's like a unique selling point.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would go... Well, this guy.
Ow.
There we go. It's all right. You hurt yourself?
No, temple. It's fine. I got the cap, so all right. Layer of protection.
You hit yourself in the head. I would put it in because if it's in the music video and if it's in the song, you're helping a lot of other people to understand it.
Yeah.
And it's part of you. And I think it makes you different and it makes you interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think it's anything to take out and to try and hide. You know what I mean?
For sure. The truth is, I'm laughing now because yesterday, you see, I'm being open. I spent the day yesterday with one of my brothers. That's why I couldn't come in because he was on leave and throughout the whole December, he was with his family in Durban.
Okay.
And obviously, when you say like family comes first, you have to make that time. So I felt very disheartened that I couldn't come in yesterday because he and I planned to go. You know, just two of us have a day, have lunch,
cool.
Park, chill.
That's all right. We're here now. Don't worry about it.
So we spoke and he was like, yo, bro, think about it. When you're in the mall, you can't control it, but literally you get the most stares from everybody, whether it's good or bad, people are looking at you. And I was like,
and
that's an interesting way to look at it.
And isn't that in the music business, now you got to break through, you got to be different, right?
That's true.
So with you, it's innate. You're not making it up.
I suppose.
You're not putting on a show.
That's
part of who you are.
A good point, brother.
Show that shit off.
I think I'm going to, because I feel very positive about training. And to be honest, I was hoping I could, if I may, share with you, because obviously someone I respect, and maybe it's something you might even be interested as well. But this year, my plan is, see, what I did was I released the song last year, 19th October.
Right.
That's the first song. The first song, from that day, it was out available in stores.
Mm-hmm.
You've got about maybe 3 months now.
Mm-hmm.
But in this month, next month, and hopefully by March, maybe beginning of April, some tour, I want to get, I still have to meet with these people, get to chatting with them, throw around ideas, brainstorm. But the idea is, I want to create a foundation. Now, when people hear foundation, they're like, oh, man. Yeah,
it sounds like a charity.
Yeah, yeah. But the truth is, the reasoning behind it, when I was young, mind my language, I prayed and hoped, irrelevant of my family, I just wished someone out there gave a shit.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest and I'm leveling with you, man to man, man to man, I just wished somebody gave a shit. Nobody resorted to mockery, laughter, etc., etc. So this foundation is something I feel very strongly about, and I want to address three social issues.
Go on.
So the first issue is, I'm actually going to take it out because I don't want to lose my train of thought.
No, that's fine. Is it on your, phone is a note?
Yeah, okay. I created this note.
All right, so let's see.
What I want to do is, from the first time, the day one, every single sale of every single track or purchase or download, whether it's iTunes, Apple Music, Google Play Music, Spotify, whatever, when you're streaming, like, you know, you get splits with royalties, writers, publishers, this, that, the artist, the producer. So every single piece that comes to me, 20% of that total value of every single download that comes to me, I want to put towards this foundation.
All right.
And what I want to do is, obviously, small numbers in large numbers, so small amounts in large volumes accumulate. That being said, the three social issues I'd like to address. The first is treatments, such as doctor consults, medication, treatments for people with Tourette's and other disabilities.
What kind of treatments can you get for Tourette's? What are you on meds?
No, so I'm off meds because meds, for me specifically, you know, everybody's body is different.
Sure.
But the reality is, there's a lot of people out there who are being helped and assisted with medication. Now, even though I can't go through that because, I mean, as far as I know, I've got level 5 Tourette's. It's not terminal, so they refer to it as level, not stages.
What's the worst level to be?
5.
Oh, God, so you got the worst one.
So I've got Tourette's, multiple vocal tics, muscular tics, OCD. So if you have accompanying disorders like OCD, ADHD, insomnia.
How does that manifest, OCD?
It's terrible. I don't know if you noticed, I can't leave my phone like this.
You have to make it straight.
I have to do that.
Yeah, I got
it'll
you.
It'll irritate me.
Dude, that's me.
So,
yeah.
Look at mine.
Yeah.
Hey, bro.
We're not even talking about it.
Bless you, my homie.
You got to see my house. Jesus. I can't sleep unless things are in order.
Case in point, brother. I look to my left, you look to your right. Look at the studio.
I know.
Look how clean it is. I mean, come on. Well, give credit where it's due. You know what I'm
trying.
So, that's the first
thing.
These
other people are fucking animals.
Ben and I are just like slobbing all over the place. All
right. So, OCD, and how does ADHD manifest for you as part of the
ADHD for me is I have a very short attention span. Extremely. So, in a lecture, for example, she'll be talking to me. I'll probably absorb about 15 to 20 minutes.
And then you're done.
And then I'm gone. I'm zonked. Yeah. I'm looking at her like, I'm puzzling now. I'm looking at her, I'm like, okay, what is she saying? Because I can't concentrate on the content that she's trying to teach me. And then I have to go home,
books. To go back to we were talking about the treatments. And then we got into these other manifestations.
Yeah. So basically it's like treatments, like, think about it this way. There's so many kids out there, especially kids, adolescents, teenagers. They have parents, one parent, two parents, maybe no parents, guardians. But irrelevant, those people looking after those youngsters and those parents and those guardians don't have the financial means to pay for example, when I was on my first like 2 or 3 trials, my mother as a single parent had to pay up front, no doctor consults, just medication per month, 3,500 rand. In our economy, boss, that's a lot of money.
And Tourette's is the kind of thing that can happen to you whether you're rich or poor, right?
Exactly.
It doesn't hit anyone.
It's not based on your LSM group that you're based in or how much your monthly income is. It's all about a greater plan.
And the third social ill?
So that's the first. It's about treatment. So medication, doctor consults, etc. For Tourette patients and even other neurological disabilities and like physical disabilities. The second one is education. So see, the thing is, see, my granddad, I put this chop second time I went to Cape Town to record my single.
Yeah.
Everyone told me I'd never get a tattoo
yeah.
because of my tics. So I didn't do it to prove them wrong. I did it to prove myself right.
Huh.
There's a difference.
It's a good tattoo. So, I didn't see any mistakes.
Oh, okay. Even when I twitch, like you check. But you see, people, see, when you have education and you got knowledge, skills, and a wide variety of information to offer people that can help them, you've got power.
Sure.
Knowledge is power. My granddad taught me that.
But we want to educate the people, first of all, who have Tourette's about what their condition is and how they can make their own life a little bit better. But it's also for the people around them
exactly.
to understand. And even for the community at large to stop being afraid. Because a lot of people are afraid of people with Tourette's. They think that you're out of control.
And
you might just lash out.
Exactly.
You could be dangerous. And of course, that's nonsense.
Thank you. That's another common misconception. But the main basis of this education, the second social issue, is that it's like, obviously, same thing, like how parents and guardians can't afford treatments, medications, doctor consults. There's also people who have kids that can't afford a basic government education.
Yeah.
They are existing in rural poverty-stricken areas, mm-hmm. regions where, you know, something as simple as an opportunity, a chance
mm-hmm.
to educate yourself, to make a way for yourself.
Yeah.
That's important. So if this foundation, what I'd like to do is, once it's open, up and running, and obviously things start to accumulate, get some traction, this thing is where I want to contribute to education, whereby Tourette sufferers, OCD, ADHD, any learning disability that kids will have, their parents can't afford to put them to special needs institutions. I couldn't go to a special needs institution. I needed one. But I don't regret it because it's made me stronger.
Sure.
It's made me versatile. You have
to fit in with everybody else.
I didn't want to fit in though. Because even though I was there, I was born to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that with all the humility I could possibly say. Because I have faith that God has a plan for me. Right. And I want to create that for
promise
other kids.
Me you're not going to be dislocating any wrists.
Yeah,
or anything.
I hope
in the next
so. Week. I hope, actually, that I hope not. Nice. I hope not.
Record a Michael Jackson song because I think the ticks have come in handy.
You'll hear in the second one, like I promise you, when I recorded the second track, out of nowhere, bruh, like before I could even go into the first line, I just hit this loud, high frequency scream. My producer looks at me, pauses it right there, and he's like, I'm keeping that.
Why? If not, why not?
Exactly.
Go ahead.
But the first, as I was saying, is special needs institution. And then even if you're a kid who doesn't have any disability, mm-hmm. what makes you any less deserving?
Of course.
So but I also want to help kids that don't have disabilities.
What I like about you is you've told your story online and people have been able to interact and engage with you and find out more. And I don't know what the prevalence of Tourette's is in South Africa because I think it's misunderstood in this country.
Yeah,
I don't think it's as well documented, diagnosed, treated as it might be in other places.
Yeah,
because
true.
A lot of people don't understand it. But I think you're probably helping a lot more people than you know. So that's terrific. And
thank
now with
you,
your music, you're also inspiring and making people happy. So congratulations, bro.
Thank you, brother.
Very,
I appreciate
very nice
that.
To see you.
It's good to see you too, brother. It's
we will
really
see you
good.
Again soon.
Definitely.
Excellent.
Definitely.
All right. His name is Radlin. He is on Facebook. You can find out more Radlin Naidu, and you can look him up as the artist Rads, R-A-D-Z. His song's called Your Love. Download it at Apple Music. You heard what he wants to do is start a foundation, so he needs you to buy it ASAP.
And one more thing. You can check me out on Facebook at My Life with Tourette's Syndrome and all... The first letter of each word is all uppercase.
Mm-hmm.
And on Instagram, you can find me at official.
Was that on purpose that the first word of every thing was? Or was that because you hit caps lock by mistake?
No, it looked neater to me. With the OCD,
cool.
check. With the OCD, I was like, no, I have to have it.
Very
so on
good.
Iggers, you can find me at official Rad Life. Oh, much love, everybody. And thank you for having me in today, brother.
Not at all. It's always a pleasure. Thank you
thank
so much.
Thank you so much.
Mm. All right, let's do the unnews and clear out of here. You can join us tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early. It is cliffcentral.com on a perfect Wednesday morning. Isn't it a beautiful day?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, just to conclude, a little earlier on one of our conversation topics, we posted a tweet saying that around the SA group that's pushing for school-going children to learn how to use guns, and it was a poll. So 19% of our followers said, yes, it is a great idea, and 81% said, no, it isn't a good idea.
Hmm.
So,
well, for kids, if I may, because I heard it when I was there outside.
What do you think?
Ultimately, bruh, guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Yeah. And wouldn't you rather know that you can handle a gun and that you know how to handle it responsibly and that you know how to use it in a difficult situation than end up the victim of that?
It's a very controversial thing.
People seem to not like the idea of personal responsibility. You'd rather let our incompetent and not necessarily very aware and awake police force try to come and save you.
With their statement.
Yeah, I mean, don't be ridiculous. No, there's no savior. You've got to be your own savior. That's my last word on the matter. Okay, here's what you need to know today. Big news for the people of PE. Authorities made a 700 million cocaine bust at the harbor. Did you hear about this? There was a major celebration. It's a big achievement by local law enforcement, but an even bigger one will be to keep it away from local criminals that have started to gather around the ship like seagulls on a dropped chip.
700
The month-long closure of Lion's Head is a big blow to Cape Town tourism. The DA disagree, though. They think people will now be forced to visit many of the other natural attractions in the area. Musi Mamane says that Clifton Forth, for example, is now a cultural heritage spot. And if you go there this week, you can still see some of the blood from the slaughtered sheep on the sand. Isn't that nice, Musi? And finally, AFCON 2019 will be hosted in Egypt, despite concerns over general safety and the hugely uncomfortable climate during the time of the tournament. Why? Well, South Africa were in the running, but sadly, only received one vote when CAF delegates were asked why Egypt was the winner by such an overwhelming margin. They said it was because Danny Yordan looked a little rapey, and there are fears that all South Africans are like him, and therefore they don't want to come here. They'd rather take Egypt with its war-torn and sweaty possibilities. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Have an excellent day.
This is CliffCentral.com.